It's time for It Says in the Papers with John S. Doyle.
Today is not the day to reopen pubs. That message from Dr. Ronan Glynn, acting chief medical officer, gives the Irish Examiner its lead headline. As Neil Michael reports, pubs are to stay shut for at least another 2 weeks to allow health officials to track the impact of schools reopening on the spread of COVID-19. It's the lead story for the Irish Daily Mirror too, and the caption to the photograph of a hand clutching a pint of beer says it leaves a sour taste. Wet pubs are to stay shut. Now it's dry September, says the Irish Daily Mail, which also leads with that story. And the Cabinet is to consider a major crackdown on house parties and pubs that are not complying with public health guidelines under new measures to tackle the spread of COVID-19, so the Irish Times reports. The Irish Sun leads with news from what it calls an explosive new book by the TV stars Ant and Dec. There's more TV in the Irish Independent, where Pat Stacey reports that RTE and Virgin Media, in the launches of their new schedules, offer surprisingly solid autumn fare. The Irish News reports that Martina Anderson, Sinn Féin MLA, is facing calls to step down from the Stormont Scrutiny Committee that deals with a range of legacy matters. Amid continued fallout from her tweet that said that the victims' payment scheme was mainly for those who fought Britain's dirty war, Ulster unionist Doug Beattie said her place on the executive committee was untenable. So John Manley writes. The Belfast Telegraph, in its lead story, reports on the inquest into the death of Nora Querin. Claire McNeely writes that the inquest heard that a stranger approached Nora in a Malaysian airport the day before she vanished in a rainforest. At the end of the week, Phil Hogan's troubles have vanished from the front pages. Now the Independent reports that he is in line to get a golden handshake of up to €300,000 after his resignation as a European Commissioner over the Golfgate controversy. The Examiner puts his severance allowance at €441,000 over the next 2 years. The Irish Daily Star reports in its lead story that Mr. Hogan is set to receive three annual pensions, a total of €125,000, from his time in the Doyle and Brussels when he hits 63. For headline purposes, the paper comes up with a figure of €2 million. That, according to reporter Keith Faulkner, is what the cushy pensions could tot up to over Hogan's lifetime. As for Phil Hogan's resignation, Stephen Collins in the Times writes that appeasing the lynch mob has come at a high price. Collins says that a spineless government running scared in the face of an hysterical media has done serious damage to the national interest by forcing the resignation of Mr. Hogan from one of the most powerful positions in the European Union. The death yesterday of the writer Eugene McCabe at the age of 90 is widely marked. The Examiner, in an editorial, describes him as a reluctant, struggling social gadfly. In The Independent, Dermot Bulger says that McCabe's honest, humane and sometimes savage writing has been a vital addition to Irish writing ever since his first play, King of the Castle, provoked controversy at the 1964 Dublin Theatre Festival. In The Times, Martin Doyle recalls McCabe speaking of his deep connection to Dromard, the family farm near Lackey Bridge in County Monaghan. He said the familial associations are inescapable. Having to leave would be a kind of death. That is why I plan to have my ashes spread in the ground of an early Celtic church on the farm.